Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. U.S. Central Command says the latest airdrop of humanitarian supplies to Gaza included more than 40,000 meals and over 20,000 bottles of water. Major General Pat Ryder, a Pentagon spokesman, said on Friday that reports that a U.S. aid drop killed five children on the ground were false.
Press reports that U.S. airdrops resulted in civilian casualties on the ground are false, as we've confirmed that all of our aid bundles landed safely on the ground.
Central Command also says the U.S. and coalition ships shot down 15 Houthi drones launched by those Iranian-backed rebels. U.S. says they posed an imminent threat to ships in the Red Sea. President Biden and former President Donald Trump both hold campaign events today in Georgia, and the FDA is allowing the maker of weight loss drug Wegovy to add cardiovascular benefits to his label after a clinical trial showed Wegovy reduces the risk of heart attack and stroke. This is ABC News. More trouble for United Airlines after a flight from San Francisco to Mexico City made an emergency landing in Los Angeles because of hydraulic failure. Also Friday, a jet skid off the taxiway after it landed in Houston. There were no injuries reported. Man behind the ChatGPT manufacturer, OpenAI, is rejoining its board. ABC's Alex Stone has the details.
4.5 months after OpenAI's board abruptly fired and then days later rehired Sam Altman amid employee backlash, now Altman is rejoining the board of directors at OpenAI and new board members are joining him. The current board claims to have full confidence in Altman after an investigation found it was wrong that he was fired and that his conduct did not mandate removal. When the board said it had lost trust in Altman and fired him, much of the company threatened to quit. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Altman told reporters he's glad the matter is behind him. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
It truly pays to be a member of Egg Country Farm Credit Services. For the fifth year in a row, Egg Country is paying a 1% patronage dividend on all eligible business for 2023. The co-op is also making a special second payment of 0.5%. Together, Egg Country members will receive a record $125 million. That's the power of the co-op. Egg Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Egg Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. There aren't enough nurses in Wisconsin, but nursing instructors are warning about one particular nursing school trying to get established here. More from Mike Mohn.
The Arizona College of Nursing faces scrutiny in other states over regulatory issues and claims that at least too many students saddled with debt and no career pathway. Barbara Nichols with the Wisconsin Center for Nursing encourages aspiring nurses to prioritize schools with an established track record. She says the trouble is those schools don't have enough instructors.
You can make more money working as a nurse practitioner with your master's or doctorate than teaching.
She says they hope to soon see results from a Wisconsin initiative which started 3 years ago that offers loan forgiveness for nurses who take on teaching roles. Leaders at Arizona College of Nursing argue the educational system should provide better support to these students, such as mentorship programs on campus. While obtaining a nursing degree does require some clinical training, she notes there is some flexibility for other required courses.
The schools have a combination of in-person as well as online, and that's the best. So I think you need to look for those schools that provide theory in terms of online, and then make sure they have good clinical placements.
And Nichols feels it's better to wait for an opening at a long-standing accredited program, arguing they're better suited to provide a quality nursing education. And for students who wouldn't have trouble temporarily relocating, she says it's worth it to explore programs in neighboring states. Wisconsin is graduating around 3,000 nurses each year, at least 2,000 short of what's needed. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Coming up Monday on Nat Nair On Air, join us for three headlines and a lie, and we learn about organ donation with Versity's Colleen McCarthy. I hope you can join us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and a high near 41. Northwest winds at 10 to 15. Clear tonight, low 20s. Sunshine with a high near 48 on your Sunday. For Monday, sunshine, a high around 62. Partly sunny, into the mid-60s on Tuesday.
It's 30 at our studios.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Early in the morning, late in the evening, I'm getting red dirt rich and flittering.
What's up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman on your Civic Media Network throughout the great state of Wisconsin. 13 stations statewide.
Woo!
And growing.
And counting.
Growing and counting, at least. I mean, I think that we're doubling listenership every week.
Oh,
that's
absolutely.
I think we should go. Anastasia, is that a realistic goal?
Like, well,
from like 4 to 8 people.
Okay, well, that, see, that's
eight
fine.
To 16.
And that's still
look at
okay.
us grow.
But I'm telling you, within, you know.
Higher than that, now when we got to go 16 into. You're talking
32.
About thousands we're talking, now.
We're in the thousands now. No, I have to tell you, I was at a gas station the other day with my wife. And, mm-hmm. you know, in my life, everybody comes up to us and says, oh, you know, you're Rebecca Clayfish. We're the lieutenant governor, you know, like all the time. Everywhere we go, dinner, doesn't matter. So this woman comes up and she says, are you Joel Clayfish? And I said, I suppose. Yes, yes, I am.
Today,
she,
yes.
She said, I love listening to your radio show.
With
and then she followed it up with saying, I really liked Danielle. And I said, most people like Danielle more than me. So that doesn't surprise me.
That is not
true. I don't know. I
just laugh a lot.
Well, you're a lot easier to like than I am. I'm kind of like I'm old now. So
no,
I'm,
you're not.
Well, I feel old.
I mean, you dress very stylishly.
I
look very nice today.
Oh, thank you.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It. I'm wearing one of my cowboy shirts.
Are you?
It didn't fit for a while. Yeah, with the pearlized butt snaps.
Oh, that makes
it
a cowboy shirt?
I think it does.
Oh,
and then
I mean, why doesn't
little
it?
Little dipsy doodles over here.
It's very manly of
and
you. Dipsy doodles.
What's that?
Is dipsy doodle the technical term?
I think
it is.
I don't know. What do you call
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
A pocket, my guy.
That is
no,
not
no,
a pocket.
The top part where it slips down. Like
embroidery?
Yeah,
embroidery?
Like embroidered on the top.
Embroidery.
You know, like Johnny Cash.
I like dipsy doodle.
But I don't know. I've been feeling very cowboy lately, and I'm thinking about maybe going back to Wyoming this year to hunt antelope again, to hunt pronghorn with my man Toby Johnson out there. That was fantastic. We did some
I might
great
join you this time.
Segments. You should.
I'm ready.
You know who's going is Senator Staff Schulten's daughter.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I like him.
Yeah, he's great. So I think we're gonna head out there again this year, and I'm getting kind of nervous, though. I'm getting a little bit nervous. And
Joel
I'm gonna,
Clayfish is
usually,
not getting nervous.
I do get nervous. I think healthy nervousness is a good thing in life because I think it helps you strive. And I have had like these real kind of mind-bending, like overreaching conversations with people this week about the importance of life, the meaning of life, goals. And I had this real long conversation with some folks. I was at the Capitol, as a matter of fact, and I had this conversation about how success is really built on failure.
This
successes are built on failure. And the difference between people who end up pursuing and getting and gaining what they want out of life. You know, I wanted to be a part of a national outdoor hunting television show my whole life. It took me till I was, you know, 49 years old to do it, 50 years old. And people say, well, how did you do it? You get to do this. You get to go hunting. You get to go to other countries. Not you get to. Nobody gets to do anything.
Nope.
You create the potential opportunities for yourself. Anastasia, I mean, what? She just got out of college like a year ago, right?
A little more than a year ago, okay. But yeah. But like, it's been a hot minute.
A couple years ago, fine.
Yeah.
She's already producing at Civic
butt,
Media. Stations across the state of Wisconsin. People can look at that. And what I can tell you about anybody in the media and anybody who gets to do hunting as part of their living and their income has had failure after failure after failure. And what makes you successful is pushing through that failure to the yes. There's gonna be lots of no's before you get the yeses. And that's kind of, I tell everybody, if you want to become good at life, become good at scouting and asking permission.
I was going to say that pertains to me exactly, because I have to get through all my no's from the farmers and all my nervousness in order to get that one yes. But I have to go through like 50 no's in order to do anything. And yeah, sometimes I back out of the driveway because I'm too scared to go knock on their door. But then
that happens.
I go back.
And that's why I want to bring Sam Ubel from Chase Nation is here. And we're really jacked to have him. He's extremely experienced in the hunting world. He's had some things go viral on your kids' modern media with the modern media outlets out there. He's had some famous pictures that have gone worldwide, as a matter of fact. But he is from the media part of the hunting world. And I want to bring him into this conversation right off the bat. Sam, first of all, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Sam.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Stuff. Make sure you go check out his Instagram, Chase Nation, and check out Sam Ubel's personal Instagram. There's something he's doing wrong because he's got more followers on his personal Instagram. I mean, so that's than he does on Chase Nation. That makes him like a little bit like Lady Gaga. He is kind of the Lady Gaga. I think he might be like the Lady Gaga of hunting. I mean, you know, as a man, obviously, but he does have his ear pierced. He's got his nose. He's very modern, kind of cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got the tree/water tattoo.
That's the Chase Nation logo.
The Chase Nation logo. Oh, and you've got swallows on there, too.
I've got all kinds of stuff.
It is a really cool logo. It is a tattoo that I would never have on me because I would never
have
a tattoo.
Tattoos.
But that's right.
We had this conversation 2 weeks ago, and I got my latest and greatest tattoo. I was on a road trip with my sister.
Yeah, okay.
So, but it's still healing if you can't tell.
Do you have tattoos, Anastasia?
Not yet. Yes.
Oh, no,
keyword,
don't
yet.
Say not yet.
I have two I really want. I have waited a long time to find two that have really big meaning to me, but I have not committed yet, no.
All right.
But the reason I met Sam was at the Deer Fest.
That's right. I was working Wisconsin Whitetail Pursuit, I think. It was
you
at
were
that booth?
Wisconsin okay. Whitetail Pursuit.
Yeah.
And then the booth next to you was selling a bunch of like seasoning and everything. So it just happened to work so perfectly. Like, ooh, a sweater.
Yeah.
Ooh, food. So that was kind of perfect. But that was my first Deer Fest I've ever been to.
2014?
And you were there. And I also met Eva Shockey there as well. She was great. Her and I had pizza together. It was wonderful.
She's great. We got to do the Journal Sentinel Sports Show together, Eva. And what a kind soul. She really is.
Yes, she is.
And you want to talk about someone who puts their money where their mouth is? That woman works when she hunts. I mean, she's not afraid to work. And she's fantastic. And, of course, her dad is a legend, no doubt. I want to talk about this because we're going to tease that story you told where you got your viral picture.
Oh, sure.
On the canoe with the massive buck.
Massive.
I want to talk about what we were just talking about because I like to give inspiration to the listeners of the show. And I tell everybody, if you want to be good at life, be good at getting permission to hunt. And in that doesn't just mean knocking on a door. Doesn't mean getting up the courage to knock on a stranger's door. It doesn't mean being polite and being respectful. It means maintaining a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It means having a true value and understanding for what the farmer does and goes through on a daily basis, and have an understanding for the gravity of somebody allowing you on their property to come with a firearm and shoot bullets to, you know, harvest game from their property. And when you master, or at least when you get better, I don't think you ever master it. When you get better at understanding all of those qualities and putting them together, that is literally life lessons there. Because we talked about there's no success that is not built upon failures. And I think you being from the outdoor media television industry, does it drive you crazy when people are like, oh, you get to just hunt for money. You get to. You don't get to.
No.
It's some of the hardest work you'll ever do. And if anybody in the outdoor media industry, including Danielle and I in that group, actually counted, we're probably making less than minimum wage when it comes right down to how hard and how much you work for what your product is you put out.
Yeah, that it's a lot of money out of your own pocket to get started. It's a full-time commitment. And even if you're doing it on the side, you are, putting moonlight into perspective. You know what I mean? People hear moonlighting and they think, what is that? And when you're working a full-time job and you've got a family and you're trying to run a household, a lot of the editing goes on at night, you know, when everybody else goes to bed, put the kids to bed, the wife goes to sleep. I found myself a lot of nights up, you know, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. I'd be editing till 2 or 3 in the morning. You get up at 5, go back to work. You do that all day and you come home. You take care of family and get right back into the rhythm. And that'll wear you out real fast. So it hits home when you talk about like what all goes into making it as a producer or running a TV show. Nobody that hasn't done it could quite comprehend exactly what that commitment looks like.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, everybody out there who's capturing some of those earth-shattering moments in their lives on their iPhones or their Androids, those are great moments. And fortunately, one of the good aspects of social media, because there are 100 bad aspects for every one good aspect, but one of the good aspects is that it allows us to share those special moments through capturing videos of hunts and mm-hmm. fishing and some funny. But when it comes down to producing television and putting something on the air that the masses are not going to just watch and make fun of, and some people always will.
There's always haters.
And the mark of something good is haters, because that means there's someone who's always jealous and critical. Mm-hmm. But when you, one of the tougher things that was so striking to me when I first started doing outdoor television is how absolutely difficult it is to capture a harvest, a kill.
And if it's just you, yeah, to have the camera set so perfectly and remember to hit record.
Right.
That was always the absolute worst thing, but you never get the exact angle that you're looking for. It's never the same through the camera.
It isn't the same through the camera. Mm-hmm. And the artistic nature that is required in doing that type of thing is really something. I mean, I've looked at some of Sam's pictures, you know, just on Instagram and his show. It's shot beautifully. And there's really an artistic renaissance that's kind of happening with you. I mean, I don't know if you're an artistic person. I would guess you are, because it seems like you focus on lighting and positioning and everything. Yeah. I think that aspect of it is often lost in people who are shooting stuff with their phones, although there are some who capture it eloquently as well.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it takes. And I'm glad you touched on that, because I feel like, you know, here's a prime example. If I just finished producing something, we just published it and we get somebody watching, we can have somebody watching it and then they're talking to their neighbor, not paying attention to a critical moment, and it just bums me out, because it was so much work to get that one shot.
I mm-hmm. get it. It drives me nuts, and they'll turn and start talking, and I'll literally grab them, watch this for the next second. We'll be right back. We're going to hear Sam's story about the big buck that he never thought he'd get. You're listening to Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I come home empty-handed cause I got no luck. Yeah, I'm pretty bad at hunting deer.
Man alive, there's some years I'm pretty bad at hunting deer, too.
Right, Sam, that was me last season.
I'm not even good at drinking beer anymore.
Ooh.
Which is like the theme of that song. Like, if you don't, if you're not good at hunting deer, you can always drink beer. Isn't
that, I got a deer two nights ago.
With your truck?
First time ever. First time hitting a deer, going 60.
Oh, are you okay?
I'm okay. My Jeep is not okay.
Yeah, I imagine it's not.
And I couldn't find the deer afterwards. It was absolutely heartbreaking.
Well, it sounds like he became ground beef if you hit him
ground beef. Well, I didn't see. There was blood, no fluids, no nothing.
See.
But there's fur all over over my grill.
did you report it to your insurance, obviously?
No.
Why?
Because I have a friend that can fix everything for me.
And then you're just going to pay him. Well, that's a bad deal.
I don't want to report anything. I don't want my rate to go up or anything.
I think you just said on radio that you got in an accident. So I hope your insurer is not listening out there. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish. That story is brought to you by Danielle Fairman, who may not be the wisest about her insurance fees.
I'm keeping people in a business with the automotive company.
Yes, you definitely are. I had we got Sam Ubel from Chase Nation in the studio with us today, and we're going to get right back to the topic at hand, which was getting permission to hunt and the importance and the valuable lessons you learn and the things you take away from actually stopping and communicating with people who own farms or own properties and how that's changed over the last 20 years. It kind of blows my mind how much it has changed in the last. I came late to hunting. I was 38 years old before I started hunting. I started an outdoor hunting and fishing show that was just a fishing show. I discovered hunting, and it became, you know, outside of my family and my children, literally the most important thing in the solace and wonder of my life. So you made a real good point during the break. You were talking about how it has changed getting permission and the reasons for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you and I went through like 20, even 30 years ago, getting permission somewhere to hunt wasn't as hard because, we didn't have as many bow hunters. We just didn't. Now, bow hunting has become such a fad. I hope it stays up like this because I'm glad it does good things for the sport, but it makes it harder for us to get permission to hunt on private acres. It really does.
For sure. I think, though, with crossbows, we're never going to see it go back.
I doubt it. No.
And you know, there's pros and cons to that. It's okay to me. The crossbow debate you can have all day long. You've got your folks who only use longbows or stick bows or recurves, and then they're mad at the compound hunters, and the compound hunters are mad at
the crossbow hunters.
The crossbow hunters are mad at the airbow users. And, you know, you can have that fight all day long, and I'm saying this is something that drives me bonkers. Let's, as sportsmen and sportswomen and sports people, let's get on the same page, because we've got enough stuff coming at us left and right.
Oh, absolutely.
People trying to take our right to hunt and fish away.
Our end game is the same.
Yes. You just hit the nail on the head. And the fact remains, we're still losing hunters every year. And we're losing a segment of society that is the number one contributor to conservation. So I stop having the infights. We have to stop having the infights, and we have to speak with one voice. And
Oh.
Anastasia, can I say ass?
Yeah, you can say ass.
Okay, I just wanted to.
You have one ass coupon you can use on air.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to use it right now. And Hutters need to get off their ass and into the voting booth because they are an apathetic group when it comes to voting. And those people we elect, they're not hunters and fishermen in large quantities anymore. And they're deciding how we get to spend our time in the waters and woods. So make sure that you participate in the process. And I cannot be strong enough when I say that. I've diverged from the point. But, you know, I do think that's an important one, Sam. And you were talking about how things have so drastically changed. So now what? Do you use technology now? What is the best way? Because I still believe scouting and asking permission and maintaining relationships is something that everyone can use in the greater portions of their life.
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, maintaining relationships, that's key. You have four different types of individual that's going to either answer the door or answer the phone when you call asking for permission. Either you reach somebody that already hunts, you reach somebody that doesn't know a thing about hunting, but they're okay with it. Then you have the person that doesn't like hunting. They don't like the idea of killing animals at all. And then, you know, you have that fourth person that's sort of confused what you're asking them for in the first place.
Rider. Yeah. Call them the fence rider. Yeah. They're on the fence. They don't know which way to fall.
Yeah, and they hang up really quick or slam the door on your face or, you know, peek through the blinds and never answer that kind of thing. Yeah, that happens a lot. But it's uncanny to me how many people should have this intuition about themselves. Hey, I got permission. That wasn't an easy score. Mm-hmm. I better maintain it by asking for permission next year, not just assuming that I have permission.
Oh, never assume. Absolutely never assume
that. So many property owners that are like, I think I've got somebody hunting out there, but I haven't talked to them in a couple of years. So I'm not sure if they're still out there or not.
That's how it was for me this past season. I was able to get new property, right? And she said, I have sole access to this. I was like, oh, wonderful. Perfect. Just me. I'm down. It's like 20 acres. So I walk out there. I'm trying to put up some trail cameras and tree stands and everything. And I see another trail camera. And then I see another tree stand. And then I see another one and another one and another one. I'm like, are you sure you don't have anybody else out here? Because it looks like Home Depot out here. People are building things. She's like, oh, actually, there's about three or four other people that are actually hunting out there that she had no idea.
That's common.
Yeah, that's very common.
But we also actually had him on the show. So we all became friends.
The guy you ran into.
Yeah, we all really? Became friends.
That is definitely better than the alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question. I don't think I've ever asked this before. This may sound ridiculous. Let's say...
The only bad question is the one that's never asked,
Oh, it's the one that's coming out of my mouth.
Well, we'll wait and see. We'll be critical later.
Okay, so we're talking waterfowl hunting. That's it right now, okay? Waterfowl hunting, you were able to access permission for a dozen pieces of property. Do you say, okay, I'm good with my dozen and stop asking? Or do you keep going and want 20 and want 30 permissions from people? Like when people
morally
stop?
Appropriate?
Yeah, like
is
what
that
is
what you're kind of asking?
Yeah, like I don't know because I keep going to places. Like, oh, wait, I have access to this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. I'm like,
Sam,
dude,
are you a big waterfowl hunter?
I used to be, and just recently got back from Kansas on a goose hunt, which was so great to get back to my roots. But I wouldn't say I'm big at it. No, I'm more into whitetails right now.
I can only give you my perspective.
Yes,
my perspective is that hunting takes place long before the day you have a gun in your hand.
Oh, this is true.
And so, I like to hunt X's, and you hunt X's by scouting, and those birds don't give a rip whose land it is they're landing on. They're not going to ask you or the farmer permission first. So I follow the geese, but I also try not to step on people's feet who have permission where I know. But I will often let them know, and a lot of times by letting them know, they invite me on the hunt. It's kind of a hybrid answer, and I don't know if that answers it. We'll be right back. We're going to get to Sam's story because it's incredible, I promise. You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman.
Never had blood smeared on my face, but there's cut shirt tail pieces all over the place.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark.
U.S. Central Command says the latest airdrop of humanitarian supplies to Gaza included more than 40,000 meals and over 20,000 bottles of water. Major General Pat Ryder, a Pentagon spokesman, said on Friday that reports that a U.S. aid drop killed five children on the ground were false.
Press reports that U.S. airdrops resulted in civilian casualties on the ground are false, as we've confirmed that all of our aid bundles landed safely on the ground.
Central Command also says the U.S. and coalition ships shot down 15 Houthi drones launched by those Iranian-backed rebels. U.S. says they posed an imminent threat to ships in the Red Sea. President Biden and former President Donald Trump both hold campaign events today in Georgia, and the FDA is allowing the maker of weight loss drug Wegovy to add cardiovascular benefits to his label after a clinical trial showed Wegovy reduces the risk of heart attack and stroke. This is ABC News.
Bucks fall short in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Lakers in L.A. 123-122. The Lakers without LeBron James, who missed his ninth game of the season, this time with a sore ankle. It was L.A.'s DeMarcus Russell who stole the show, scoring 44 points throughout the night. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
You live with contested twos. He made them. Like, first half, I think they were shooting almost 60%. I didn't think we had a great defensive night tonight. I thought in the first half, they killed us on their rolls. The second half, I have to watch.
The Bucks face the Clippers in the same arena tomorrow at 2 p.m. Hockey, the Badgers men's team losing to Ohio State 3-1 in the Big Ten tournament, but the women's team won 4-3 last night in Minnesota.
Now a wraparound attempt, rebound attempt, they score! And it's Lacey Eden winning it for Wisconsin in overtime.
Courtesy Big Ten Network with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and a high near 41. Northwest winds at 10 to 15. Clear tonight, low 20s. Sunshine with a high near 48 on your Sunday. For Monday, sunshine, a high around 62. Partly sunny, into the mid-60s on Tuesday.
Right now, 31 degrees.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yeah, you can find us where the party's at. This is how we roll.
Oh,
Man, I love that song.
Feels like summer.
Did you
know that
Chase Rice wrote that song, my buddy Chase?
Really?
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
He wrote that song. Chase Rice, who's a great friend of the Foul Life, good friend of mine. He's been to Wisconsin hunting a few times. He's got a bunch of hits on his own. Great guy, great hunter, great advocate for hunting and fishing. Was a songwriter before he was a country music artist himself. So he wrote a lot of songs that are out there.
That's
which
awesome.
Is pretty cool. Florida Georgia Line, that was that last one. He's done a great job. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish. That's Danielle Fairman laughing over there. Thank goodness she's on the show. We wouldn't laugh half as much as we do, Danielle.
This is probably true.
Danielle, what turkey season do you have?
Second to last.
What?
Yeah. First time I've ever not have bee. I always have bee.
Bee's a really good one.
Yeah.
Because they're splitting up.
People, I'm terrified.
The season A guys, they pushed them around a little bit. They're kind of on their own hanging in the woods. You set up, you call. They're looking, you know, they're still ripe fashion looking for the new birds.
Mm-hmm.
Still real vocal.
Yeah, real vocal.
They're biting.
I have to say, this is weird. Sam Ubel's here from Chase Nation. I promise we're going to try to get this show goes so fast we never get to half of what we want, but I promise we're going to get to Chase Nation and where you can watch it and where you can see Sam and some of his conquests in the outdoors. But I have to talk about turkey hunting just for a little bit because I've grown up in Wisconsin. Had, 4 years in college in California, a year and a half in Rockford in television there. And then I was back to Wisconsin, back to my roots. And I've never seen a winter like this in my life.
It's horrible.
I've
it's very
never
devastating.
Seen a winter like this.
I think
in my
I went
life.
Out fishing 5 times.
No ice to ice fish. Ugh.
I think it was amazing.
What?
Whitetail herd, for the turkeys, and for the fish. Be honest with you.
I kept
a lot of people off the water.
I did not mind it at all because I watched all of these sets of fawns live and survive. Now, I will say this. I think the predator kill was higher than it usually is. But I also think it might have been stifled a little bit because predators are much better following scents in snow than they are on bare ground. But I love this winter. I hope it's not indicative of a really hot summer. But I think our species, we've seen a little dip in turkey populations. I think we're going to see that come right back in 1 year because
it's
of this.
It's going to be awesome.
But the ice, the hard water freaks, man, they were not.
Yep,
we're
very
it.
Disappointed.
I know one hard water freak who was having a good time this winter.
Who?
My dad.
Your dad?
My dad, while I was in Vegas this weekend, sent me a photo I will have to show you of the biggest muskie he has ever caught.
Oh,
wow.
It is, wait till you see the photo. It is genuinely the first photo of someone holding a fish where I went, that's a big fish.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I just had to give him a shout out because he's like the only ice fisherman I know. So way to go, Dad.
And
I'm
way to go,
job.
Dad.
That is awesome. Well, congratulations, Anastasia's dad, for a record-breaking muskie. muskie nuggets are delicious. I'm kidding. I mean, you used to be able to eat fish, for God's sake, and people used to literally put them on their wall. Now, if somebody were to take a fish out of a lake and make a skin mount of it, you just about get crucified. I don't personally understand that. I mean, we have limits on fish so that people can actually take them and put them on the table, but I wouldn't keep a muskie myself.
And I see fish limits are changing all over Facebook
yes,
on April 1st.
Oh, yeah. A lot of fish
so
limits.
So make sure to keep an eye out for
changing.
That if you go out there.
And remember that as of March 1st, you got to get your new licenses. You can't just head out there with your old license from the last year. This starts the cycle of all the new hunting and fishing licenses
get
is
you
March of the new year. So, well, I'll be getting my patron's license. But I really do think the patron's license should have everything.
Yeah, it has your fishing license. Mm-hmm. And
no, I know, but it should have everything. You still got to buy your federal stamp.
Your stamps.
You still got to buy.
Yep.
There's something else.
Stamp.
Pheasant stamp you got to buy.
And inland,
trapping's not included.
The trout stamps, I think.
Trout stamps aren't included. I don't know. They got to get on the same page with that. In general, you know, when I was in the legislature, I spent a lot of time trying to reduce the regulations. And this is one area we don't even do as well as Illinois. Illinois' hunting and fishing regulations book is about 1/10 of the size of Wisconsin's, if you can believe that. They have less regulation in Illinois around hunting and fishing. And with the loss of hunters and anglers throughout the state, we literally are going to, we've got to do something to encourage people to get into it. And I think easier regulations are part of it, because so many people in Wisconsin don't participate in a particular type of hunting or trapping because they don't want to break a law or a rule that very often are so complicated they don't know the nuances too. So I do think we have to work on that. And I think we need cooperation from the warden force as well in doing that. But I think that's definitely something that can be worked on. And I think good people in the legislature who hear from their constituents can help. And I can tell you right now, in the past week, the governor's desk just got, you know, air guns, permitting air guns for use in big game hunting. The governor's office got breech loading muzzle loaders on his desk. If he signs those, and I'm encouraged he will, I believe the governor will, because he understands hunting heritage in Wisconsin, I think those are things that help people get into it with less worry. Sam.
Yeah.
Hello.
Tell me about Chase Nation, and tell me about where you can see it. How can we find you? And we're going to talk a little bit about your cooking.
Yeah.
The cooking
show. Well, I'm excited for you to talk. Too. Yeah, there's some passion about that.
But where'd you come up with it? When'd you start, and where can people find Chase Nation?
Sure. I spent so many years in this, in the outdoor space, you know, writing, and, you know, hunting and fishing and filming for different shows and different DVD series like Wisconsin Whitetail Pursuit, Whitetail Adrenaline. I worked for Outdoor First Media, written for a lot of different magazines, both print and digital. And I opened a lot of doors for me between that. And I guess, you know, going back to when I was a youngster with my mom's shoulder camcorder, sitting there trying to capture, you know, drips of water coming off of icicles off the roof, man, I knew that I was kind of like obsessed. And you asked me earlier when we weren't on the air if I'm artistic, and I very much am, very much am. And so for me, I'm a visual storyteller. The best way for me to showcase, you know, what I've got kind of materializing in my head is from behind the camera and then in the editor's chair. Mm-hmm. So I started filming my hunts and my fishing excursions and producing. And I thought, man, if I'm doing this for a couple other different companies, why am I not doing it for myself? So I started Chase Nation in 2016 in January. And it's been a learning curve ever since. It's been a humongous commitment, like enormous.
Is this your main job?
No, this is it's a moonlight. I put about 30 hours a week is what we kind of estimate into the show. But then I work in IT on the side. That's like my main job to pay the bills.
You're right.
And it's not just, you know,
keeping, I hear you, brother.
It's not just the roof over my head. It's to sustain Chase Nation. I mean, nobody fronted me the cash to buy the apparel line. You know, that was like $5,000 out of my checking just to go buy hoodies and T-shirts.
Matching clothes. And
then you find out people don't like them and they don't sell. And, you know, you take a couple hits and then you got to muster it up and reinvest not only your money, but your time.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a learning curve through and through. But the logo, you know, this tattoo on my forearm, this was a tamarack tree that grew in the front yard. This here, this half moon, this is the moon and the sun because we're out there first light and last. So that's where that comes from. And then nice. The bow hunter on there. It's just, I always looked at that tamarack tree and thought, man, it's a perfect stand tree, you know, but it's in my front yard.
That's where it all started.
Yeah. And so I sketched it. And my ex-wife, she drew it like Adobe, I think Illustrator, you know, traced my sketch, and mm-hmm. we made a vector, and that became the logo. It's not great for print because it's so long, you know, it's right. So tall,
yeah.
And it's a little bit detailed, but it's our trademark. Yeah.
So how can I see?
Sure.
Chase Nation?
So we've got four different show titles. We've got Unscripted Adventures. We've got Campfire Stories. And we've got Taste of the Wild and Visual Storytellers. These are four different show titles. You can watch it on Carbon TV, which is a smartphone or smart TV app.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch it on YouTube. That's probably the easiest place to watch it. Or you can watch it on the KOTV channel on Roku. You're going to find us on Prime Video, but when you click on it, you can't watch it anymore. I just stopped putting shows up there. I had to do all my own closed captioning.
Oh wow.
And that just wore me out.
Oh, trust me. Yeah. I know. Closed captioning is a pain in the butt.
Yeah. Oh, I know nothing about that at all.
I mean, I think I did like 13.
Our shows were closed captioned, Danielle.
Yeah, but I don't know the whole details about what happened with that.
Somebody listens to the show and types it out as it goes.
Control C. It's
what's that?
I tried to get a job as a live transcriptionist that did that.
Oh,
wow.
My gosh.
You can get jobs like that in Milwaukee for phones or TV.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, no,
you have to be able
awful.
To type it like 100 words a minute.
Oh,
it's a real job.
If you're
Holy. A real computer whiz out there and you are looking for a job, those still exist.
And they pay pretty well, actually, don't they?
Why do you think I was trying to get that job?
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, they pay well, so they're expensive. That's
just
why
like
I did it
radio.
On my own.
Just
like just
radio.
Like radio.
We're all getting rich doing radio.
For
so.
Sure.
That is a really big topic. I'm going to be talking in the Working Class Bowhunter podcast in a few weeks in the Dells at the Sportsman's Expo, and we're going to be talking on that topic. Everybody thinks if you run an outdoor show, you've got to be just raking in the dough.
It's crazy.
And, you know, I know some of these guys that are on cable TV, they're getting big, big sponsors. You know, their partners are paying.
When you say some, you are literally talking about 1 or 2%.
Yeah, literally.
Maybe 1%.
Yeah.
Your Eva Shockeys are probably making money.
Yep.
Your The Crush is probably making money. Duck Dynasty, that was onto its own, that became a show far beyond a hunting show.
Yeah.
But nobody else is getting rich.
No.
People say to me, oh my gosh, Joel, you do so much in the outdoors. And how do you do it all? You got the radio show, the podcast, the TV show, the outdoor seminars. How do you do it all? And I say that I'm lucky if that's 25% of the income that puts a roof over my head.
Oh, yeah.
And then I explain to them all the things I do to actually try to make enough money to put food on the table and put my kids in college. And they go, wait a minute.
When do you sleep?
You're not getting rich doing outdoor television. It is quite the contrary. The work you put in, like that's what I was saying before. I mean, you're lucky. I highly doubt if any one of us here is making minimum wage for the hours we put in.
You can burn through a marriage quite quickly. You can put your family in a position that, you know, has them wondering where you are all the time and where your priorities are. It's commitment. And if you haven't lived it and you don't know much about it, enduring it is a challenge. And I'll say that, I'll tell that story again and again. I've lived it and I'm still married to it. You know, I'm still married to what I started with Chase Nation. I'm not married to my ex-wife anymore. You know what I mean?
My kids,
I hope that they grow up and they can get involved more. Like they're on the show, but I hope that they can take over the reins.
That'd be awesome.
I think it is a vastly misunderstood industry.
Oh, yeah.
Because who doesn't want to get paid to hunt?
No.
And I think that that is what people look at and see. And you see it on, you see the booming social media interest, and everybody's posting pictures of them with their deer, with their geese, with their animals.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole explosion of the huntress that has taken place. Everybody'd love to make money in the outdoor industry, but at the end of the day, it is a rear-end busting industry. Very difficult to make money in. But those who do endure it for years, most people do it, try it for a while and give up. Those who do endure it for years, it is because it comes from a true drive and passion that is literally a portion of your soul.
Oh, yeah. I can tell you, and I'm really like an open book with Chase Nation. Well, I don't buy groceries with the income from Chase Nation as far as our partnerships. Yeah, that money goes to putting us at the shows. Now it facilitates our apparel line, what I used to have to front from my checking. It buys the music license. It buys your web space, all of that. You know, that's where the money really goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're a hunter or a fisherman or an angler or you use the outdoors, watch these shows, support these shows. Tell them they're doing a good job, because those people who are producing this for the masses out there really care about furthering conservation and hunting and fishing. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco.
This is how we roll.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me.
Welcome back to Raising Wisco on all your Civic Media stations throughout Wisconsin, 13 to be exact, all the way from Hayward down to Racine, Kenosha, out to Madison, Milwaukee, Waukesha, you name it. You can hear us on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on all your Civic Media stations. That's so cool. Just to think,
it is wonderful.
We're being broadcast now. Raised in Wisco has become so popular that the outstate radio stations in Madison, Eau Claire, you know, across the state are playing Raised in Wisco. And that is because people care about the outdoors mm-hmm. in Wisconsin. They want to learn more about it. They want to participate in it. Sam Ubel is here from Chase Nation. We just went into the break talking about how important, you know, supporting the outdoor industry is, because really those people who give voice to the rights and the struggles of, you know, being a hunter, being an angler in Wisconsin, and making sure the laws of the state support us bringing food from the field and the waters and woods to the table is so important. So if you know somebody in that industry, or you are participate in hunting, fishing, foraging, hiking, climbing, remember, it's the hunters and fishermen of this state that literally raise the revenues that keep putting fish in our lakes and make sure that populations of animals remain healthy in the state of Wisconsin. And I can't stress it enough that if it weren't for hunters and it weren't for anglers and it weren't for park users, those things in Wisconsin would not be in such thriving numbers that they are. And on the other hand of that, it is vastly important for us to bring new people into the outdoor sports and activities, for us to get on the same page, for us to work toward the same goals. The show goes by in a flash.
It does all the time.
It really does. It really does. And so we started off the last segment talking about turkey season. I have zone 2 season A. Mm. I love season A. Most people like season B better. I
love
season A.
They're so vocal.
There's never a time you can call a turkey more than season A. And if that Tom can be literally a half mile away, if he hears the right, he's coming.
And he's not walking. He's coming on a run.
He's running. Just like our wonderful hunt that we had that one day when it came running. 2 football fields down, Joel's just calling away, and that bugger is just running, yeah. Jumps a creek, comes over. I missed it with a bow, but I shot it with a shotgun. So
that was one of the, honestly, one of the most memorable hunts I ever had. Danielle literally shoots at it with the bow, misses, flat out misses it. And then I had said, we're going to bring a gun too. And she's like, all right, give me the gun. She didn't even try to rack another. But I think shotguns are for turkeys, not bows. That's just my opinion.
I had to try. I'm stubborn. You know me.
You know, I'm glad you did try. I'm glad you did try. And, you know, had you whacked it with the bow, you'd have been like, see?
Uh-huh.
And I'd have been great either way, but it was a really memorable hunt. Sam Ubel here from Chase Nation. One of the moments, you've actually gone viral on social media with a photograph of you rowing a canoe with some turkey feather fletching sticking out. I mean, just a real artistic photo. And what is that, a 10-point buck at the front?
I think he was a 9.
9 or 10-point buck at the front of the canoe. How did that story happen?
So that was circa 2015. I was hunting with Jared Scheffler. I was here in Waukesha County.
Whitetail Adrenaline, yeah. Which really had a moment right at the end of DVDs. Remember when DVDs?
They're still pushing DVDs.
Oh, they are, but now you can find them other ways. But Whitetail Adrenaline, if you want to watch some fun TV, these guys literally chase, and when I say chase, I mean they stalk huge animals and end up like on top of them. It's crazy.
It's 100% public land. It's 100% from the ground. It's right there in your face, your eye level, and that puts things in perspective, especially being on public land. I mean, all these guys that are hunting public land and they struggle to even see a deer. Now imagine hearing those stories and then going out and hunting from the ground on public land, you know, doing it on film. It just adds a level of complexity that it's hard to imagine. That particular hunt, we had walked about 3.5 miles against the current. I mean, it sounds like the
walked
to school both ways uphill, barefoot in the snow.
Well, they were dragging canoes.
We were pulling it. The only reason
did you have waders on?
We had hip boots. Yeah. Okay. And we didn't have any. We just had the two of us, and Jared was carrying the camera, and I was carrying the bow, and we didn't have a secondary vehicle to park, you know, at the takeout. So we parked where the put-in was. We walked upstream to get to this piece of public, the backside. We knew the size of this public and the way that terrain laid out, that it would take a lot of leg strength to walk that whole way back. So we went, we got to the backside of that public. We ended up shooting this deer, and Jared got the most amazing photos of me.
Oh, it's beautiful.
With that buck in the canoe, and it's just blown up.
You skipped the part we were talking about, failure before success. You skipped that. We got 2 minutes. I want to hear that part because that's the most compelling part of the story.
Well, you know, before I killed that deer, we had a 14 pointer. He had split brows, split twos and threes, and he was rubbing up on a cedar tree right in front of us at about 35 yards. I misjudged the yardage. I shot just underneath his armpit. That was my first year filming with Whitetail Adrenaline. And knowing the amount of people watching that and knowing that he's not going to edit that out, I was kicking myself. So I was negative. I was bummed out. I was tired. I was cold. It had been raining on and off all day. And I knew we had a hell of a paddle to get out of there. Mm-hmm. So, I kind of was like thinking.
You were moping.
Yeah. I'm like, let's just go back. Let's get out of here. It's getting dark. You know, we got only 25 minutes of daylight left. He said, let's just go around this point. We'll go up on the bench. We'll wrap around this ridge and then we'll get out of here. And I thought, all right, whatever.
Yep.
And he tugged on the back of my shirt and he said, big buck, big buck. And this thing came out behind a deadfall. I shot him about 50 yards through the hardwood timber. Heart shot him. He ran to the bottom of the ridge and he folded up and it was a heck of a memory.
Oh, I believe it.
And that goes to show you the ups and downs of hunting are just like in life. And don't take that failure and not push through it. Pushing through it means there's a success on the other side. And that's why that is the perfect way to end the show for this week. What a great guest we had today, Samuel.
Well, yes, thank
Danielle.
You, Sam.
Yeah, thanks
awesome
for having
job
me. No, I'm really
setting them up.
Pleased to be here and meet you guys again.
Yeah, it was
Danielle
great.
And I, we haven't seen each other in years.
Forever, it seems like.
Yeah, well, it was a great show. And Sam, you're going to be a repeat guest, I can already tell.
Cool.
Folks, listen to us on Civic Media Saturdays at 11 a.m. Join us. Give us some feedback on Facebook.
Absolutely.
We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. See ya.
From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the Western skies.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Monday on Nightlight, I welcome Jeopardy Master and Green Bay's own Ben Chan. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The White House says President Biden signed a package of bills today to avert a government shutdown. They passed during a midnight vote in the Senate. Those bills will keep programs governed by them funded through the end of September. A deadly National Guard helicopter crash in Texas near the U.S.-Mexico border. Three of the four people on board dead. Wesley Vanderpool is a farmer in the area and saw the copter go down.
The whole tail and the copter is a rapid descent. A rapid descent. Of course, that's where it crashed.